The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Crishon on Sunday, September 2nd, 2018.
Good morning, church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus, our Christ. But it is good to see you, and it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Today is truly the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, humbly we come before you today. We lift our hearts to you. We pray for those who are not here, who could not be with us for many different reasons. But Father, we praise you and we thank you for your wonderful and abundant blessings in our lives. May we truly now worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our reading this morning is from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruit of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious, do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's important to do just a little bit of background and context, and I won't do this every week, so that we kind of get a sense of this book of James that we have. James is the half-brother of Jesus. We think he's the firstborn to Mary and Joseph after Jesus was born, maybe a year or 2 years younger than Jesus, so he would have grown up with Jesus, would have grown up in the house with Jesus. So this is who this James person is. And it's important for us to please always keep in mind that our New Testament, more particularly our New Testament, all the books of our New Testament are written to believers. They are written to believers. Paul actually says, as he's writing one of them, that those to whom, who find it to be the Word of God, it's life and everlasting, but those who are outside of it, who are not believers, think it foolishness and odd. So I want you to, that doesn't mean that a non-believer can't read it and get something from it. There are teachings and morals, but the thing that it is needed is the believer has a special gift, and that gift is the Holy Spirit. that lets that word become for us the living Word of God. It is the Holy Spirit that gives those books and those writings sacred meaning for us, sacred purpose for us, and are inspired by the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God that is in us. Every believer gets it. It lets that come alive. How many of you know that to be true? How many times have you read the same thing but found something that it spoke to you in a different way? You know, I have read a lot of books, and I like metaphysical poetry. I know that's different. Most people don't even know what it is. But John Donne is one of my favorite poets. And I have read his poems several times, and they're always the same. What I get from reading those poems, that message stays pretty consistent. That's different from the Bible. When I read the Bible, every time I do, something stirs differently, because I never go to it the same and I never leave it the same. It's always a little different. It is the living Word of God. So James, this half-brother of Jesus, wasn't always a follower of Jesus. There was a time when they sort of thought Jesus was maybe lost his mind. And remember, in the Gospels, you go home and read all this. I'm not going to do all your homework for you. When James is with Mary and they come to talk to Jesus, he's in this house, he's doing these healings and stuff, and they want him to come out. And they send the messenger in and say, your mother and your brothers are out here to see you. And Jesus says to them, who is my mother and who is my brother but to do the will of God who sent me? I bet James was a little bit resentful of this Jesus guy who was the oldest son, who didn't seem to be taking the responsibility he should have. He's letting his mom and his family kind of down. Dad's passed away by now, we believe. Jesus is running around. Look at who Jesus is hanging out with. I mean, this is a good Jewish family. They took Jesus to the temple. They went back up to Jerusalem for the holy days. This is a good Jewish family. You need to understand, Mary and the kids and Joseph, they were good Jewish people. And look who Jesus is hanging out with. Fishermen. Stinky, uneducated Galileans. Oh, let's don't forget there's some tax collectors in the groups. Don't forget there's questionable people all around him. Oh my, can you imagine this Jesus guy, he touched lepers. And he touched dead people. You don't do that as an Orthodox Jewish person. But now we find another James who has come to know that indeed Jesus was and is the Messiah. It is this skeptical James who early in we find no evidence of being supportive of Jesus. But then we see shows up in Acts, and James has become a Jesus follower. And James sets down to write his little letter. It's just a little letter, literally, but it's loaded, and I won't get to unpack it all, even in a full sermon series out of it. Not a topical follow the pattern, but this set of messages from James, but we'll go where we can. Let's begin in verse 17 with that little bit of background. Every generous act of giving. A generous act of giving. That don't mean just giving something, does it? It implies generous. It means giving beyond. I gave the Sunday school class this morning the illustration of the guy out looking for a 10-year-old car. while his heart was set on a Lincoln Continental, one of the newest ones, with all the electronic gadgets and gizmos, and that's what he would really like to have, but he's got to settle for something a little older, maybe a couple hundred thousand miles on it, something new to him, you know. But instead, this guy walks up, sees him looking for it, says, come with me. Here's you a brand new Lincoln Continental. Here's the keys. It's yours free. That's generous giving, isn't it? It's generous giving. Keep that in mind. Generous giving. Notice it is indeed generous giving, but it doesn't stop there. With every perfect gift. Notice the guy didn't just get a car. He didn't just get a new car. He got the car he most desired. He got the Lincoln, brand new Lincoln Continental. It was the perfect gift. How many of you know how to give the perfect gift? No, I don't know hands up here. How many of you struggle with figuring out what to give? How many of you have tried to find something for somebody that has it all? Carrie and I were, I am delighted to tell you that there is going to be one of the greatest things happening in Rock Springs. I figure it's going to happen the 1st of October. One of the greatest things that's probably happened in Rock Springs, at least in my time here. You might not agree with me, but I'm going to be there for the grand opening. I'm going to watch them cut the tape and let us in. You do know that they're opening a Harbor Freight. Down in the old Hastings building. Yeah. I told Carrie that yesterday. She said, what's that? I said, they sell tools. And she looked around, we're in the garage. She said, do you need any more? Then she said, when are they going to open a hoodie store? I said, do you need any more? It ain't about what we need, is it, sometimes? It is that perfect gift. The perfect gift is that which matches us. Our personality, our stuff. For Carrie, that perfect gift would be me trying to find a hoodie that is a different color than what she has, because she doesn't have all of the colors. Do you know what? I happen to find in some of my stuff one of those color things from Sherwin-Williams. I'm in trouble if we've got to get all of them in a hoodie. There'll be no way that it'll happen. But it is the perfect gift, and it's generous. When God gives you a gift, it's going to be the perfect gift. And it's generous. And all of the good gifts come from God, who's the Father of light. And we hearken our minds back. Remember, these are Jewish people, to that creative story when God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. It's the first thing created. It's the first thing God says is good. And he speaks it into existence. And the perfect gift that God gives us today is his Son. And his love. And it's a generous gift. And his Holy Spirit. The generous gift of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The most generous gift that ever could be given is Jesus. Not was. Is. And it was given by God as he sent his only Son. The Gospel of John teaches us that Jesus is considered to be the Word that we find in Genesis. And John says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory of the only begotten Son. And nothing was created without him. Jesus was the Word. And every good gift comes from God. But we get other gifts, the gift of music. I don't have it. I can't play the radio very well. I've got a gift for gab, I guess. By the way, I know that God revealed to me what Nicholas is going to be when he grows up. He revealed it this morning. And you need to pray about it. Nicholas is going to be a politician. We're coming down the road to the church. There's this man and woman going up the hill, and she's got on this bright orange shirt. I mean, it was bug your eyes out orange. And I said, Trinity, look at that bright orange shirt that woman's got on. She said, Papa, that's pink. She said, that's hot pink. I said, that's orange. She said, your old eyes are tired. That's hot pink. I said, no, it's not. It's orange. And I turned in and headed down the street over here. And I said, Nicholas, what color shirt that woman have on? He said, it was orangish pink. We know the gifts. But we have other gifts. The gift of teaching for some. The gift of working with animals for some. The gift of sewing for some. The different gifts that we all have are gifts from God as well. And they are generous gifts. The next thing he says are two things about God, whom there is no variation. How many of us need something solid in which to anchor our lives? God is the only anchor that'll hold. God is the only anchor that doesn't change. Right now, while you are sitting here, change is taking place. The cloth on the pews that you're sitting on is decaying. The foam padding, some of you are finding out now, it's already pretty long gone. It's not as soft as it used to be. I've probably lost another 3 hair while I've been up here. There's things around us that's changed, though it doesn't look like it, it is. How many of us have come to know that things change in our lives and around our lives, and circumstances change? A phone call, a text message, and the world we know turns upside down and inside out. I don't know about you, but I need somewhere that I can anchor it so that it doesn't get away. And the only anchor that'll hold is God. For He has never, ever changed. He says, I'm today, same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And He says, and my word, which is Jesus, shall never pass away. Heaven and earth. And then it says, the second attribute, James says, and there is no shadow of turning. God will never turn His back on us. We may turn our back on Him. We may step away. We may kind of go the other way a little bit. But church, you need to know that God's love doesn't stop. What did we say in our affirmation of faith? What shall separate us from the love of God? You can't. When you give your life to Jesus, to God through Jesus, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, dipped in the very blood of Jesus, and they can't nothing wipe that away. God loves us and will never turn His back on His children. We may think He does, the devil may tell us He does. But I got news for you: in your darkest hour, in your deepest sin, God was there whispering into your soul. And if you'd have just took a moment and let the devil hush, the alcohol or drugs subside, you'd have heard that still small voice in one of the great hymns of the church, come home. Come home. Don't go there. Don't go there. and the everlasting arms of God are outstretched to the sinner, never withdrawn. The sinner may walk away. The sinner may reject it. Wesley called this prevenient grace. It's always there. Do we believe that, church? I hope so. And James says, and we take the word into our hearts, the living word, which is Jesus, that can save our soul. He warns us to bridle our tongues, be quick to listen, slow to speak, watch your anger. He goes all the way down through all of this, and he comes to the last piece that I want to close on today in that last verse when he defines what religion is. There's a lot more I could do, and if you want more, go to Facebook, go to our Facebook page, and watch today's Sunday school class. It's a lot more in-depth. It gives you a lot more background. I don't have an hour that I have in there. It defines what religion is. I pray that every one of us are religious by James's standards. You see, James didn't follow Jesus, and James didn't hear all of Jesus' teaching, but James lived with Jesus. He saw how Jesus lived his life when the doors were closed. He saw how Jesus conducted himself, how he didn't judge other people, how he reached out to the last, the least, and the lost, touched the lepers, healed the blind, caused the lame to walk, stood the crooked, healed the withered hands, fed the crowds, and gave tirelessly in the healing of their disease and casting out of demons. James saw Jesus at work. It's likely James never heard the Sermon on the Mount. It's likely James never heard in person the Beatitudes. But he saw them lived out. And that was what convicted him that this was the Messiah. Can you imagine for a minute having been the half-brother of Jesus? To have been there at the crucifixion and to hear a Roman soldier proclaim, surely this was the Son of God? To feel the earthquake and the sky darken? Can you imagine there with your mother watching your brother? Could you imagine? Now James writes, what is religion? For James, words are good, but actions are needed. It's about the action that God inspires, that God gives, and God moves us into. What does that action look like? He says to take care of the widows and orphans. In the Israelite history, God had said, you're to take care of the widows and orphans among you. And by the time the temple comes around, Jesus is standing there at one instant, and he sees a widow put in her last penny. And the very institution that is supposed to be helping her takes her last penny. The one that should have been helping her, it had flipped. James is saying to us that we are called to help those around us who are in a time of need. Jesus would teach that among believers, remember believers, that if you see your brother in need, and we'll expand that, brother or sister in need, and you have means by which to meet that need, and you do not, the love of God is not in you. And you are yet in your sins. Religion, then, is seeing to the needs of our brothers and sisters. Seeing to the needs of those who are in times of distress, difficulty, and hardship. That's the call of the church today. to be at work. Action. Talk's cheap. Actions. Say more. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a minute. Let us prepare our hearts to come before the table, the altar, and receive of God's, in remembrance of God's acts in Jesus. Our gracious and loving God, we're called to action. Not just words, not just learning, but we are called to action. May we hear that call, heed that call, and follow that call, knowing that we have in us the greatest gift ever offered, Jesus. Jesus. Amen. Now may God's grace and peace go with you, bless you, and keep you. May truly His countenance shine upon you. May we go to be the church, active and alive in our community, hearing the voice of God calling to us, going as He would lead. May we truly go to be fast to listen, slow to speak, and more than anything else, may we go trusting in God who never changes, and believing in a God who doesn't turn His back on us. And now may the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you and bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.